This Sunday sees the LBC Invitation Cricket 11 going back into action for the last time this season. They'll be playing to raise money for the Multiple Sclerosis Society. Opposition is being provided by Bertie Joel's Celebrity 11, and as well as meeting the LBC personalities, you can see stars like William Franklin, Francis Matthews, Ed Stewart, Neil Durden-Smith, Peter Skellen, Fraser Hines, and Norman Rossington. There's also a fete running throughout the afternoon, a demonstration by a police precision motorcycle team, and a display of veteran and vintage cars. 10,000 programmes have already been sold for this event. So join us at Epsom College, College Road, Epsom in Surrey. It starts at 2 o'clock. Be there.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
LBC, first with the news.
First with the Christmas shows.
Yes, here at Gough Square.
That's Gough as in dough and square as in root.
We're proud to bring you the first of the Christmas spectaculars.
Yes, season's greetings from Punchline, the show that puts the X in Xmas.
We'll be hearing Colonel Sterling singing Jingo Bells.
Talking to the stars of that new sex shocker, Let My People Come All Ye Faithful.
Interviewing Crispin Even on what really went on that night with Wenceslas.
Plus all the chestnuts you care to listen to in the next half hour.
So let's light the cracker, pull up the tree, hang up the surgical stocking and take a last look at the year gone by.
1974. What happened? Go on then.
I thought you were doing this bit.
No, I stopped at the end of the First World War.
Oh, right. 1974. What a year of coming and going, of change for the better and the worse, of nothing ever seeming quite the same again.
Richard Nixon.
George Pompidou.
Willy Brandt.
Spiro Agnew.
Ted Heath.
League Division 2. Bill Nicholson.
Sir Ralph Ramsey.
Bill Shankly.
Janet Street Porter.
Names that meant nothing much then, either.
Remember the three-day week?
Remember no television after 10:30.
Remember two in a bath, Duncan?
Yes.
But in those dark winter months, there were still one or two hardy souls, keeping the flag flying in the name of England.
Join the Adamson gang.
In America, too, there was one heck of a storm brewing. Cyclone Watergate, spinning ever closer to the White House and taking the highest in the land in its fatal course on the road to justice.
Oh, I did like that.
Yeah, I got it out of this cracker, actually.
America, the nation Britain tried to put the tea into.
Well, let's go over there now and hear from a man who made that land his own. Letter from an Alistair.
It may seem to you quite extraordinary that in a week in which the president was publicly executed and San Francisco was completely destroyed by an earthquake, I should choose to talk to you about a dog show in New Jersey. And yet, I think it's worthwhile, because it so happened that at that dog show in a small town, I met a dachshund named Carl Frederick. This has struck a peculiar chord in my memory, and I recalled one day when, as a young reporter, I was crossing the Delaware with George Washington. I remember very clearly that Washington turned to me and said, Gore, Alistair, my arthritis is playing me up something awful. Quick as a flash, Benjamin Franklin, who was sitting in the bow of the ship, broke off his conversation with Pocahontas and said to Washington, why don't you go to a doctor instead of complaining all the time? With that, Washington gave that curious little leer he adopted in moments of stress, and he attempted to strike Franklin on the head with an oar, but missed, and struck instead Abraham Lincoln, an innocent party in the dispute who happened to be standing nearby. Lincoln was knocked overboard into the fast-flowing waters of the Delaware, from whence he was rescued fortuitously by Mark Twain, who happened to be drifting by on a raft. Good night.
In Britain that spring it was, hello, hello, I'm back again for Harry Glitter Wilson.
And back to the drawing board for Britain's cartoonists.
Ted Heath gone, Sir Ralph Ramsey gone. What did it all mean to the man in the street?
Well, I'm sick and tired of being bothered every bloody time I go down a street by one of you lot from Fleet Street. There's no bloody peace at all. Last weekend, I went out to stay with my cousin in the country for a bit of a rest, and we were just settling in for a picnic in a field, when up comes this brief about grassroots opinion.
LBC, where the news comes from. First news that... comes news that... hang about.
And then, Dennis the Menace and his budget Beano.
Yes, suddenly the austere Healy was taking us all for a ride.
The man who put the E into swinging.
D.H., Dennis Healy or just Dirty Harry?
As usual, the rich were the first to suffer, but they hit back the only way they knew how, with a bunch of fivers.
A group calling itself the Very Rich People's Action Group has been formed, and a number of its delegates were carried to Downing Street yesterday to hand in a petition containing almost 10 names to the Prime Minister. We spoke to the leader of the action group, Peregrine de Bred, and asked him what had forced him and his group to take this action.
Well, first of all, if the government's proposals were implemented, you would have a situation where two people were forced to live in a house with no more than 30 rooms. You see, some of our members might be without food for as long as an entire afternoon, and on top of that, there are the very real problems of rich people everywhere. Boredom, loneliness, and the enormous difficulty of finding beaters in the grouse season. Indeed, in any season for certain people.
So what sort of action do you plan to take?
Well, we'll be doing things like throwing ourselves under greyhounds at the White City to draw attention to our plight. We'll be chaining our servants to the railings in Downing Street, boycotting Ascot next year, and sticking our tongues out when the tattler tries to take photographs of us enjoying a joke.
Well, I see. Well, thank you very much for talking to us.
Not at all. Say, could you spare me a fiver for the taxi? I'm a bit short.
This morning, I had another talk with the German Chancellor, Herr Hitler.
Wow, it's the latest sound sensation from KTEL. 20 top speeches by Neville Chamberlain.
And here is the paper which bears his name upon it as well as mine.
It's dynamite. Peace in our time, that little piece of paper. You've read it in the library, now hear it on KTEL.
We regard the agreement signed last night and the Anglo-German naval agreement as symbolic of the desire of our two peoples never to go to war with one another again.
Wow!
LBC.
Bloto omgule blengbomla wigwam.
Oh, sorry. In Washington, time was running out for Richard Milhouse Nixon. In a last desperate attempt to salvage credibility, he summoned Buddy Holly and Jim Reeves to perform at the White House. It failed.
They asked me if
I said was true. Well, of course I replied. Well, in fact, I lied. Well, I gotta keep my pension and my pride.
Richard, Richard, supper's ready, dear.
What is it, Pap?
It's roast lamb with sauce, dear.
What sort of sauce, Pap?
An unimpeachable sauce, Richard.
Oh, my... Now, Congressman, deride. Tapes I cannot hide. Oh. So I smile serenely and say, when you're telling lies, smoking guns get in your eyes.
Richard, Richard, take off your Captain Queen cap and come to supper, will you?
Okay, Pat, just coming. Inaudible.
Elsewhere, though, some people were getting away with it.
Good evening, friends. My name is Dennis Lawson, and I'm here to tell you about my amazing new method for winning yourselves high dividends from unit trusts. With this infra-draw-it quickly out of the bank method, you too can enjoy the satisfaction of high winnings like many thousands of other satisfied customers. If you would like more details, send a stamped addressed envelope to me, Dennis Lawson, The Hideaway, Scotland. That's Scotland, Scotland. Good night.
Dennis, Dennis Lawson, King of the Unit Trusts. Dennis, Dennis Lawson, King of the Unit Trusts.
But as with the class war, the sex war was breaking down barriers. The House of Commons canteen, burnt to the ground at the start of the year, was the scene of a remarkable performance in early June, the first woman comedian in Parliament.
Hello, hello, hello. We're all looking well here tonight. I say, madam, down the front there. Your stockings are wrinkled. What? Oh, it's your legs. Seriously, though. All right, settle down there. Let me tell you about me husband. Oh, I'm not saying he's a messy eater, but when I took a bundle of his old clothes to Oxfam, they thought it was a food parcel. You can always recognise me husband, though. He always talks through his nose. His mouth's worn out. I'm not saying he's dirty, but he went for a swim in Lake Windermere once and left a ring. He's not very bright, me husband. He gets it from my father-in-law. My father-in-law, he used to be a policeman till he booked a steamroller for having bald tyres. Mind you, he and mother-in-law had a terrible shock 35 years ago. My husband was born. What a husband. He'll be waiting for me with a rolling pin when I get home tonight. If he can stay awake that long. He's so boring that when he starts telling a story, even the golf is shorn. Thank you. So darling, see you soon.
Meanwhile, the Mediterranean was the scene of an unprecedented international crisis.
Well, welcome to Nicosia. It's a knockout special, Greece versus Turkey, and I think Arthur's got the scores, Arthur.
Well, Turkey got an early lead, blowing up the village. They did it in 2 minutes, and that gives them 6 points, but Greece have still got to play the joker.
Well, over here at shooting the priest, there've been one or two went for early death. Yeah, there goes another one. Didn't I wanted him there. Let's go over to Stuart, see what's opening at the talks.
Well, Eddie, nothing much going on here. A lot of time wasting. Plenty of Cyprus sherry being drunk, but not much talking Turkey so far. Lots of cries of Nikos, though. Or is it just Nikos? Ha, ha, ha. Oh, and the referee didn't like that one. That's Big Jim, an ex-policeman from Bristol, at a place of Moussakas just at him, right in the Dardanelles. Ha, ha, ha. Eddie.
Well, Greece are playing the joker at last. It's, get the journalist and, tie me up and, stand me against the wall and, ah.
But some things, like the Royal Garden Party, went on as if nothing had happened.
Well, I'm standing here now at the Royal Garden Party, which is being held this year at the Royal Garden Party Hotel. And in view of the current economic situation and the criticisms made of royal spending, both in the press and by public figures, theft has been the order of the day. Thrift has been the order of the day. The teaspoons have been attached to the tables by silver chains, and the guests have been limited to one sausage roll each of a well-known make. To make sure that people don't overstep the limit in eating, the royal corgis have been patrolling the strawberry and cream tent. As a further economy, members of other royal families have rallied round to help out with the entertainments. Prince Rainier sang and charmed many of us with his rendition of Amazing Grace. He followed this with a series of very clever card tricks. The Dutch royal family gave an exhibition of trick cycling, and the Shah of Iran has been running the tombola. Over in the corner, I can see a small group of people waiting to be taken on donkey rides by Captain Mark Phillips, while back in the main area of the party, the King of Tonga has been delighting many with his imitation of Cyril Smith. King Constantine was to have helped with the hoopla, but I see he's now got up on the platform and he's now singing If I Rule the World. And yes, I'm glad and, indeed, I'm honoured now to be able to bring to you a necessarily brief interview, one of the first ever obtained, with the Prince of Wales. Can I ask you first of all, Prince of Wales, are you enjoying the party?
Well, boy, oh, I'm having a grand time, you know. It's a real welcome at Buckingham Palace today.
Girls, does your hair look colourless and ordinary? Would you like to look more exciting and vivacious? Use Super Henna Shampoo and become an eye-catching, stunning redhead. No hair, but a red head.
It was a disastrous summer. The Osmond boys came over here, and the Ormond boys went over there. Each way we lost.
People who were going to Cyprus with Clarksons weren't too pleased either.
And the Osmonds are still here?
And one of them got married.
Hello. My name is Mrs. Osmond. Yes, that's right. I married Alan Osmond, of the Osmond brothers, only this week. It was, as you can imagine, a dream come true. When I walked down the aisle of the Mormon Tabernacle Church in Provo, Utah, on Tuesday last, I knew I was living the dream of millions upon millions of young girls just like myself all over the world. Little did I realize that when Alan's eyes met mine at that basketball game, we would soon be exchanging wows. Now, the Osmonds aren't like some pop groups I could name. They don't drink, they don't smoke, and they don't damage their brains with drugs. They keep their hair neat and tidy, and they wear matching suits, and they don't smash up furniture in motels or drive Rolls Royces into swimming pools or set fire to their guitars.
Hello? Hello? This is T.S. Eliot. Do you read me?
Not very often, no.
And then, as if we hadn't got enough on our plates, sugar ran out.
Why have you stopped?
I'm sorry, there isn't any more. We've run out. You'll have to wait your turn.
But with autumn, life brightened up. Elsie Turner performed the state opening of Parliament.
Harold Wilson was called to the palace,
which meant Malcolm Allison could go to Tottenham Hotspur.
And LBC was 1 year old.
L, a place we'll all end up. B, a small vicious black and yellow stinging insect. C, a thing you paddle in. 4, the number after 3. 1, the number before 2. 7, the number after 6. Which will bring us back to LBC 417 Fleet Street, London EC4.
EC4?
E, a thing, they say in Yorkshire. C, a thing you paddle in.
And so we continue with it.
I'm sorry, there's a crisis on. As from now, this radio station is being taken over by me and the boys.
But you don't... This is LBC.
Sorry, GB75 as of now. None of this silly business about commercials.
But we haven't got any on this
Got snow ice with me, me lad. By the way, have you got your ID card? You look like a hooligan to me.
Look, Colonel, give us a break. 5 minutes, eh? And then we'll be...
All right, chop chop. Let's have a look what's next. Like it.
November, and the first anniversary of the wedding of the year, and to mark it...
Pardon?
I said, and to mark it, you get it?
Mm-hmm.
And to mark it, the pitter-patter of tiny feet. Yes, Lord Snowden had arrived to take the wedding photograph.
1 year later, the wedding of the century.
Prince Charles...
Linda Lovelace.
Oh, there'd been talk about his marrying Patty Hearst and a deal involving 36 inflatable Concords, but there was no holding true love back.
Yes, in 1974 it was goodbye Charles Lindbergh, hello Charles and Linda Mountbattenberg, with a Yarboo sucks to the rest of the world.
Then salt ran out.
Then water.
And finally electricity. Time now for the high point of our Christmas show, and may I say what a great pleasure and... Indeed an honour. I'm sorry, we seem to be having some technical trouble here. I think something's gone wrong with the microphone. No, I'm afraid we've lost it again. We'll try and... What? You too? Now? Oh, very well then. It's often easy for us to forget, as we sit in the comfort of our homes and cars, listening to the radio, that behind the airwaves work men and women whose industry and dedication go largely unnoticed. The engineers. For them, not the heady thrill of reading the pollen count. For them, not the glory of a headline on the half hour or a time check. They toil behind the scenes, seeking neither praise nor gratitude. The engineers, those Trojans of the tape, those maestros of the microphone. But when the big master controller in the skies pulls their switches and calls them to a better studio above, we shall remember them. Their names are carved with the razor blade of pride. Their battle... All right, Ray, can I go on now?
No.
Okay, carry on, Andy.
I don't know. The election was postponed till the end of December, and Christmas put back till the end of 1975.
So here we are, trying to cheer up the end of your year on LBC. I'm sorry, GB75, with what else but a Christmas carol.
Hello, everybody, this is Carol Barnes here, and as the snowflakes fall outside us in Gough Square and the kid roasts on the spit, even in these cynical modern times, it's hard not to feel a tear spring to the eye as Yuletide approaches and the season of goodwill embraces us all to its warm bosom. I well remember when I was just a little nipper in shorts, and all I was interested in was fisticuffs, fighting, and conkers. My grandfather took me to see King George V at Westminster Abbey on Christmas Day. Do I have to read all of this?
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. That was the bit we wrote for George Gale, actually. Now, where's yours?
Mine's a Campari, actually.
Rudolph. Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny nose.
The Punchline Christmas Show was put together by
Duncan Campbell,
David Walsh,
Petra Markham,
Brian Gascoigne,
and Andrew Nichols.
The engineer was Ray Gannon.
And we hope you'll have a Kung Fu Christmas.
He never let poor Rudy join in any reindeer game. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you...
Nice one, Wenceslas.
As they shouted out with glee, Rudy the red-nosed reindeer you'll go down in history.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer game.
Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, Rudolph, met your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight? Then all the reindeer loved him as they shouted out with glee, Rudy the red-beaked reindeer, you'll go down in history.
LBC presents London News.